It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt Fightin' the Man radio station, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth in the really pretty garden right next door to the Art Institute on Michigan Avenue. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Oh, that little announcer guy. He's so witty. I must say, though, I really don't know what this place is called either.
You know, I need to take blame for that because I write his script. I couldn't find the name of the garden.
We're next door to the Art Institute, though. Hey, happy 80th, Andy.
Yes.
Happy 80th edition.
Happy to you.
Happy 80th edition of Outside the Loop Radio. We are Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And we are happy to be back here in the soundproof booth, broadcasting another show to you here on 88.7. This is a show that happens every Friday from 6 to 6:30 right here on WLUW. And what we do here on the show, we take a look at issues and topics that aren't always getting a whole lot of mainstream media attention. And we take another angle at those topics, another look at those issues. And we are a place of further discussion here on the radio. So it happens every Friday at 6 here on Outside the Loop Radio. And OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website. We archive every show there. And you can also get the podcast of the program, as well as iTunes. Mm-hmm. You can subscribe through iTunes and have the show delivered to your computer each week. Again, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website. Now, Andy, you're still sick. This is not a good thing.
You know, something came back.
The cough came back.
The cough came back, and it's one of those horrible coughs where, you know, you usually have a gall. You cough and something comes up.
Right.
And you're done.
But this is like the phantom cough, yeah.
The phantom cough. There is no end to it. It just keeps going.
Well, have you been wearing yourself down? Have you been going out to Gold Star over in Division a lot?
I've just been working too hard on this damn show here.
Yeah, Ryan, that's what it is.
I just can't get away with taking it easy with you cracking the whip all the time.
I'm hardcore.
You know?
In a weird way. You know, earlier, I'm wearing that Cubs coat.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, I was at the opening day. Speaking of not taking it easy, I don't know why I continue to go to opening day every year for the Cubs. I mean, it's fun, but it's a complete circus. It is a complete circus.
Yeah.
And afterwards, like, you go to work the next day, and you know, you can't function because I've been out for 12 hours. And some people start at like 7:30 in the morning. I'm not kidding you. On Monday, people were out at 7:30 in the morning drinking beer. Now, on one hand, I completely respect that and look up to that. But on the other hand, when you run into them at like, you know, 3 or 4 p.m. in the afternoon, hence I said p.m., they can't stand straight. They're walking into walls. Now, granted, if you fast – I didn't start that early. So maybe if you fast forward to like 9, you could have – maybe I was like that. I wasn't because Jenny kept me in check.
Oh, really?
She was not happy with me either, by the way. We were at Tunes, and like it was all good. A lot of room to move. Enjoyed ourselves. And then I'm thinking, you know what? We got to go closer to Wrigley because it's opening day. So we go to Murphy's. So we're wall-to-wall people, elbows flying everywhere. Jenny's not happy with me. We went home.
I don't know how she puts up with you.
Well, I'm glad we went home because if I didn't have her there, I'd still be out here on this Friday evening from opening day. Well, we've got a lot to do, Andy. You being run down, me being an idiot. We are here for the listener.
That's right.
A lot of stuff to talk about that's going on here in Chicago and Chicagoland later in this program, good sir. What are we doing?
Well, my esteemed host, Mike Steven.
That's me!
Coming up a little bit later, we'll be checking in with a very prominent Evanstonian about the latest controversy in downtown Evanston. And then after that, we'll be visited by the vice president of the Chicago Indie Radio Project.
But first, we'll learn about the status of what's going on with the Children's Museum and the possibility of moving that museum to Grant Park. So stay tuned. The music on this week's show, and each week we feature local music right here on Outside the Loop. So send us yours, info@OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. This band is called Elephant Gun. I love that name, Elephant Gun. And they're playing at the Note tonight. That's happening tonight over at the Note. Elephant Gun and They have a great description on their MySpace page. I'll read that later in the show.
Okay.
We'll just hear some music right now from Elephant Gun here on Outside the Loop Radio. I'm your host, Mike Steven, in the soundproof booth in a pretty garden right now next door to the Art Institute. Andy Herman's here. He's the producer. This is 88.7 WLUW.
Girl, you got the secrets. Girl, you got the secrets that I want to see. Well, I'll take myself a tea.
Back in September of 2007, on Outside the Loop Radio number 52, we talked about the issue of the Children's Museum that's right now based in Navy Pier, moving out of Navy Pier and possibly into Grant Park. And this was an issue that was really hot in September, and it was an idea that was backed by Mayor Daley. He came out, he said he wanted to see the Children's Museum go into Grant Park, but a lot of people were pretty upset by that because, as we have learned over time and we have heard many, many, many times, Grant Park is protected by a whole slew of laws and is designated to be free and clear and open. And this whole issue continues even until today. So we thought we'd check in with Peggy Fiegel. Peggy is a member of Save Grant Park, and you can go on to savegrantpark.org. That is a group all about the preservation of Grant Park. Peggy, thanks so much for joining us here on Outside the Loop.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Let's talk about this topic now. Grant Park and the Children's Museum and the possibility of that museum moving into the park. First of all, just so we have an idea, where specifically would the new Children's Museum be built in Grant Park?
On the furthest northern part of Grant Park, in a place called Daley Bicentennial Plaza.
And right now, as I understand it, there is an underground parking facility there, and there's it's an open space, right?
Correct, and an underground field house as well.
And so this new museum would go into that area. Well, Peggy, let me ask you this. Explain this to us. Why Grant Park for the Children's Museum moving from Navy Pier, which is, as we all know, a tourist destination, some would call it a tourist trap here in Chicago. Why would the Children's Museum go from that point to Grant Park?
Well, why indeed? There are many other locations that the Children's Museum could be just as centrally located, including staying at Navy Pier. The only problem with Grant Park is that it's illegal to be there. Now, it is one of the most prestigious locations in the city, and that is the only reason I imagine they want to be there.
When you say it is illegal to be there, if this museum was moved into Grant Park, what do you mean by that?
Well, four Illinois Supreme Court decisions have made it quite clear that there's to be no building structures in Grant Park. You cannot be constructing private structures that charge fees at admission in a public park, especially Grant Park, that's protected by 172 years of legal covenants. And let me say, in 1909, the Supreme Court ruled that the Field Museum could not be constructed in Grant Park. And so the Field Museum went across the other side of Roosevelt, and hence that was the creation of the museum campus, which seems like a much more appropriate place for the Children's Museum to go. And it's not protected legally like Grant Park is.
Speaking of law, the new alderman, the relatively new alderman, I should say, of the 42nd Ward where Grant Park is, Alderman Brendan Riley, came out against building the Children's Museum in Grant Park. Apparently, he did a lot of research. He read a lot of books on this and did some digging. And he said that, you know what, Mayor Daley, this isn't really a good idea. Not exactly what you would expect out of a freshman alderman going against the wishes of Mayor Daley, but he did so anyway. So Brendan Riley, as I understand it now, is an ally with Save Grant Park.
Absolutely. He is our ally. I think he feels duty-bound to protect Grant Park. He did a lot of research. And, you know, what this really is about is legal precedent. If the city makes this one exception, then they should be prepared to make other exceptions to all the other projects that would like their slice of Grant Park.
So what you're saying is that if this Children's Museum goes from Navy Pier into Grant Park, that precedent then exists, and then other developers can come in and say, well, hey, you put the Children's Museum at Grant Park, let's build a tavern.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, what are the citizens of the 42nd Ward saying? What are the citizens who live around the area, or what are people in general saying about this issue that you're hearing through Save Grant Park?
There is overwhelming opposition to this proposal. And this goes far beyond the 42nd Ward. This is throughout the city, people in the suburbs. We've heard from people who now live out of state, who live in Chicago, who live out of the country. They are vehemently against this move. And because everybody appreciates Grant Park and the history behind Grant Park. Chicago has, as a major city, has one of the least amounts of green space. And Daley touts himself as the green mayor, and he's ready to just give away protected parkland. It's not right.
You said there are other options for this children's museum to go to. Like what? Like, are we talking other neighborhoods here?
Sure. Brendan Riley gave the museum about 6 weeks ago a list of 24 alternative sites, and that included the museum campus, Northerly Island, Logan Square, the old Carson Peary Scott building, the old post office building, and 20 other sites.
So where are we with this right now? What's happening presently with the possibility of the Children's Museum going from Navy Pier to Grant Park? What's the status as we talk here this evening?
Right now, the museum claims they're going to move forward. They are preparing their plans to present to the Plan Commission. So the procedure would be they would present to the Plan Commission. Then if the Plan Commission okays it, it goes to zoning, and then it will go to the City Council.
If people are interested in speaking out against this, if they have an opinion one way or the other, they can do what? They can go to savegrantpark.org, or what else can they do?
Call their alderman in their ward and tell him to vote no on this proposal.
If you're interested in this issue, go to savegrantpark.org. That's savegrantpark.org. It's a website that has all kinds of information about this topic, and you can learn more about that. And call your alderman, let them know how you feel one way or the other. Peggy Fiegel is a member of Save Grant Park. Again, the website, savegrantpark.org. Peggy, thanks so much for talking to us. We thought we would call you up and see where this issue is, because this is a very important issue here in Chicago, as we live in a city that we would like to think is full of green space. And, of course, Grant Park is a great, free, open, and clear space. And a lot of people would like to keep it that way. I know I'd like to see it stay open and free and just available to everyone so they can enjoy. Peggy, thanks so much.
You.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on your listener-supported community radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven, coming to you from the Soundproof booth on this 80th edition of OTL. We're glad that you are with us. Right now, we're listening to some music from a local group called Elephant Gun. You can go onto their MySpace page. That's myspace.com/ElephantGunChicago. myspace.com/ElephantGunChicago. And they are playing tonight over at The Note. And if you go onto that MySpace page and you look at their description where it says about Elephant Gun, they say, and this is a quote, "We are a group of six bros who love broing it up and shooting the Jerry Bears around town. We all enjoy breakfast."
Awesome.
"We are a group of six bros who love broing it up." That's what we should do for OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We're two bros, Mike Steven and Andy Herman, who love blowing it up around Chicago in a soundproof booth. Anyway, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is our show website. Please go there. It's just bro-tastic, bro. And see what we've got going on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. And email us, too, info@OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Traveling up north to Evanston, right just north of Chicago, something that people are talking about up in Evanston is this proposal to build this 49-story building in Fountain Square, right in the center of downtown Evanston. It's been called unofficially the Fountain Square Tower. They're talking about tearing down a building at 708 Church Street. And this would, of course, do a little bit of alteration on the skyline of Evanston. To talk about this proposed tower, we have Bill Smith on the line. Bill is the publisher of Evanston Now. That is an online newspaper all about Evanston. And you can go on to evanstonnow.com to check out what Bill is writing. Bill, thanks so much for joining us here on Outside the Loop.
Oh, good to be with you.
Now, let's talk about this tower. Why put a 49-story building up in downtown Evanston. What's the story behind this?
Well, the developers say that it would be an iconic building, that it would be the centerpiece for downtown. And, of course, a lot of the opponents think that it would destroy downtown Evanston as we know it. There's a wide range of views about the proposal. And actually, at the moment, the developers are trying to come up with a revised design, which they're supposed to present to the City Council's Planning and Development Committee on next Tuesday. The word from the City Council when they last discussed the proposal was that while there wasn't any formal vote taken, it didn't look like there was enough support on the Council to actually approve the proposal at the 49-story height, so the developers asked for more time to come up with a new plan, and we'll have to see just how many stories and how many condo units and what the dimensions are of that new proposal on Tuesday.
Well, Evanston has gone through some changes over the years. Is this part of a plan to really, I don't want to say revitalize downtown Evanston, because if you go to Evanston, you can obviously see the shops and the restaurants and everything that's going on there. The energy that's happening in downtown Evanston is very apparent, and you couple that with the energy from Northwestern University up in Evanston. Is this 49-story tower, is it kind of like an overkill thing? Well, what's the idea or the rationale for a 49-story tower in downtown Evanston?
Well, the downtown Evanston has been in the process of revitalization for, well, most people would trace it back for a decade or more now. And a lot of that redevelopment was the result of building fairly tall condominium buildings with retail uses on the ground floor. And one segment of the population in town thinks that that's been an excellent thing for the community and that we should have more of it. And they tend to be relatively receptive to the idea of the tower, although I think that probably the vast majority of people in town are at least a little queasy or a little bit surprised at the actual height of this proposal, and might have been happier if they'd initially come up with something a little bit less tall. But the Evanston has had buildings in the 20 to 28 story range for, oh, going on four decades now. In the late 1960s, the what was then the State National Bank Tower was built here and set a new height for downtown Evanston. And several buildings that have been built since then have come close to that height but haven't actually topped it out. So the State Bank Tower, which was the first really tall building in Evanston, built in the late 1960s, is still the tallest one here by a foot or so.
Is there any talk of civic planning or looking to the future? Because, as you said, Bill, Evanston has erected a lot of these taller buildings, these buildings in the 20, 25, 30-story range. But what about thinking down the road? Will this 49-story tower, this Fountain Square Tower, set a precedent for building other sorts of towers that are maybe taller than 49 stories and maybe really drastically changing the skyline of Evanston?
Well, the city is in the midst of a process of trying to develop a new downtown plan, and the tower project actually got started just before that downtown plan process went into high gear. And the current version of the downtown plan that's in draft form says that the Fountain Square block should have the maximum height limit of 42 stories, and it also then calls for scaled-down height limits below that for the rest of the downtown area. So assuming that this plan goes forward and is finally adopted by the City Council, the idea is that the tower proposal that's being considered for the Fountain Square block would probably be the tallest building that could be built in Evanston for quite some time.
Well, whenever there is a development of this size going into a community, of course, there's going to be a lot of a discussion among citizens, and that's what's happening right now up in Evanston. And boy, don't we know it how it goes here in Chicago with rapid development all in our different neighborhoods. So that's what's happening up in Evanston. We'll keep an eye on this. The Fountain Square Tower proposal going before the Evanston City Council this coming Tuesday, April the 8th. Bill Smith is the publisher of Evanston Now. You can go on to evanstonnow.com. That is an online newspaper about all the doings up in Evanston. Bill, thanks so much for talking to us about this Fountain Square Tower issue.
Good to speak to you, Mike.
You walk so loud, you're
love what we do here at WLUW. Wouldn't it just be great if we could have another radio station like this that did all this kind of community programming and local, really great local programming, and of course the music that we play here you can't hear anywhere else. I think it'll be great. Jenny, what do you think? Probably good?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Oh, you're so biased, though. Well, the Chicago Independent Radio Project is working to bring a really truly independent community radio station in Chicago. Now, you may ask, well, what about you guys over here at WLUW, Mike? Well, you know, we don't know what the heck's going on with WLUW. I wish I could say more, but we don't know the future of this radio station come a couple months. So Jenny Lezak is part of the Chicago Independent Radio Project. Now, do you have an official title over there, Jenny?
I do. I'm the vice president.
Vice president. And we talked to Sean Campbell, who is the former program director of this radio station, who was the president. We talked to her last year, but we thought we would just get you in here to talk about the doings of Chirp. And by the way, I should also say you also host a show here on LUW every Tuesday.
Tuesday nights, the Women on Women music program.
So tune into that every Tuesday. It is your job to tune into the Women on Women music spectacular extravaganza. Well, Jenny, you and Sean were recently in Washington, D.C., on behalf of CHIRP, as it's called, the Chicago Indie Radio Project, to meet with some pretty influential people or people of people to talk about this really important issue of really bringing community radio not just to Chicago in a greater fashion, but all over the place, right?
Exactly. We had the opportunity to go and be a part of Low Power FM Leadership Days, which was 2 days in Washington, D.C. in late February, and it was organized by the Prometheus Radio Project, their organization that basically builds, advises, and lobbies for low-power FM across the country. So they've helped everybody from, you know, small churches in rural Alabama to Indian reservations to Radio Free Nashville try to get low-power FM stations. So they organized this Leadership Days, and people from all across the country came to D.C. for 2 days, and we met each other, which was great to know we're not alone in the darkness of Chicago. There's people across the country. And the first day we had sort of seminars and workshops and met with each other and exchanged stories and information and things like that. And then the next day we had the opportunity first to go in the morning and meet with the FCC staff members. So we met with some people who work for the FCC who are the actual people who approve applications for radio stations. And so we were able to meet with them and sort of present our case and said, you know, you've passed these laws that allow for low power FM community radio stations, but it only works for rural areas, and people like us aren't able to get radio stations, and here's what we would do if you gave us a radio station. And so I think we really made a great impact upon them. They're very impressed with the amount of fundraising and members and support that we had here in Chicago for the Chicago Independent Radio Project. And then in the afternoon, we met with staffers for each of the senators for Illinois, and then we also met with some staffers for some of the representatives. And as a result of those meetings, we were able to get both Senator Durbin and Senator Obama to sign on as co-sponsors of the Local Community Radio Act, which was very exciting because Illinois is one of the only states where both senators are co-sponsoring the act.
That is really cool. Now, this Community Radio Act that's going through Congress, what exactly does that do? What does it mean?
Sure. In 2002, the FCC opened up low-power FM radio. And low-power FM radio is just small, similar to WLUW, small-range radio stations that are community-owned. Often they're owned by arts organizations or church groups or other nonprofit organizations. And they allowed basically people to apply for licenses for low-power FM stations. But because of pressure from corporate lobbyists for corporate radio stations who are afraid of losing their listenership, if you will, they limited it so it's not available in the top 20 markets in the country, which is most cities. And so what the Local Community Radio Act would do is repeal that restriction and allow people in cities to apply for low-power FM licenses. And it looks really good. We think that the act will pass if we can ever get it down to the floor to have a vote. So,
and what do you think about that, about actually getting it to a vote? How does that look?
Well, you know, there's one or two other problems in America right now, so we're not exactly at the top of the list,
right,
I don't think.
Right.
But, you know, it is an important issue, and especially with the way media consolidation has happened in America, even in the last, you know, year or so, and the public outcry that's really turned against allowing further media consolidation, not just in radio, but also in, you know, television,
sure,
cable, newspapers. We think that, you know, this is something that doesn't solve for that problem, but it does provide a little bit of a solution for some people. And so we're hoping that maybe that will balance it and make the issue a little more pressing.
You know, going back to what you said a minute ago, I love when I hear the argument from those big radio stations that, man, you would totally take up our listenership. Our 50,000 watts versus your 100 watts. We're shaking. I mean, it's just such a ridiculous thing to say. And when you hear that, you're thinking, you're scratching your head saying, did you really just say that?
And you also wonder, like, are these the same people who are going to be listening to your station anyway?
I
mean, the beauty of community radio is that it speaks directly to the community that's programming. It's not just, you know, you and I having shows, but it's also anybody from the community that can come and be a part of the station.
Sure.
And so, you know, some of the people that we met that have low power FM stations when we were in D.C., those aren't people who are necessarily going to be listening to your Clear Channel station or your huge, you know, 50,000 watt station in your city anyway, because it doesn't speak to their lives and their concerns. So,
and like you said, that's the beauty of community radio, where you have members from the community coming in to do shows. And you think about what we have here at LUW, all the great ethnic programming.
Exactly.
I mean, we are in Chicago, which is just this insane mix and melting pot of different cultures and ethnicities. And we really reflect that here in LUW, or
right,
at least we try to do that. And we have that goes across the board. You talk about, you know, gender issues, health, all that stuff, and music, of course.
Right.
We have that here at LUW. And so what Chirp is doing is really trying to get that all over the place. And sustainably here in Chicago, because,
yes,
as I said, who knows what'll happen to our little frequency.
Well, and you know, it also goes, even if nothing had changed with WLUW, it does go to the issue of ownership, and WLUW is owned by Loyola University, and they have a responsibility to, you know, the charter of their institution. And so, you know, educational stations are great, but they aren't community stations. And so that's why Low Power FM is so important, because it's owned by the community,
right,
of people who put it together. And so, you know, I think there's just a lot of possibilities here, not just for us to have a station in Chicago even, but for multiple community radio stations in Chicago.
Well, if you're interested in this topic, and I think you should be, especially if you're listening to this radio station, you can go on to the website chicagoindieradio.org.
That's correct.
chicagoindieradio.org for the Chicago Independent Radio Project. Jenny Lezak is the vice president of the Chicago Independent Radio Project. Jenny, thanks so much. We'll be listening to you on the air here at LUW, and good luck. And, you know, anything we can do to help our little show, our slice of radio that we do, is here for Chirp.
Excellent.
That just about wraps it up. OTL 80, Dunnsville, as we say here in the Soundproof booth. This has been the 80th edition of Outside the Loop Radio. We're happy that you are here listening on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. I'm your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
Thanks for listening to this, your almost above ground audio magazine here in Chicago. It comes your way every Friday at 6 p.m. And of course, be sure to log on to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. That is our show's website. Again, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. For pictures, audio, video, the podcast of the show. It's all on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. And we have links up to the guests and their websites. So it's your one-stop shop for this radio show. Copyright 2008.
Albert James Productions.
Andy, I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
You did a fantastic job today, bro.
Thank you. Let's go bro it up.
You are just one big bro. And we've been broadcasting from the this garden next door to the Art Institute here on Michigan Avenue. Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman for the OTL theme song. He's a bro. Lawyer Danny, total bro. We're broing out here. Thanks for listening. Slacky J, not a bro. Coming up next here on 88.7 WLUW, Chicago.